Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manateachi Ministry. Praise the Lord. I've been away for a couple of weeks, but I thank God for you listening in. Praise the Lord. You know, God is so good. I just give him glory and I give him praise because he's really working miracles in my life. And I give him glory and I give him praise for everything that he's doing. Hallelujah. But I wanted to share a word with you tonight that the Lord dropped in my heart and in my spirit. And it's about faith. And we're going to read out of Hebrews chapter 11, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 18. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Father, Lord God, to continue to bless this message as you gave it to me, Lord. I'm speaking the word that you have put in my heart tonight. And, Father, I just want to be a vessel, hallelujah, of honor and not dishonor, Lord. God, I pray that you'll be glorified in everything that's said and done in this broadcast tonight, Lord. And, Father, that the people will be fed, that they will be blessed, and they will receive the revelation of your word that you have shared with me. In Jesus' name, I pray that I would decrease, that you can increase, that Christ Jesus would be formed in me, that he would be, that people would see Christ Jesus in me and through this broadcast, through this ministry. In Jesus' name, I pray for you to be glorified and him to be glorified. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. We're starting in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and the Bible says, Luke chapter 18, the first verse, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's hard to have faith when you don't know how to pray. Amen. You have to be able to pray, because when you pray, you're praying to an invisible God, and you're asking him to do something for you in the physical realm, in the visible realm. So you have, when you pray, you have to believe, the Bible says, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So the Bible says here that men are always to pray and not to faint. Now, the thing that got me with this verse is down in verse 8, where he says again, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? God showed me a connection, saints, between prayer and between faith. Hallelujah. Because the first verse he said, men are always to pray and not to faint. Faint means to give up. Amen. It means to give up. And what causes you to give up? A lack of faith. Amen. So when you don't have faith and your faith is not in God, you tend to faint and just give up, amen, the fight. That's what Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. The race is not given to the swift, neither to the strong, but to him that endureth unto the end, Paul says. So here we see Jesus said, men are always to pray and not to faint. But at the end of the parable, he made another powerful statement. When the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? And this is what the Lord wants me to share with you tonight. We're talking about faith. Amen. Even though God will answer our prayers and avenge us speedily, he says, he wants to know, will there be faith when he returns? Now, God is going to do what he said he was going to do. God is going to avenge us. God is going to answer our prayers. But we have to be faithful. We have to exercise faith in God. Amen. To please him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, it is impossible without faith to please God. To please God. We cannot please him without faith. So even though God is going to do his part, we have a part we have to do, and our part is to believe. And I'm going to show you how important belief is and what your faith will get you when you have real faith, amen, and not this faith that we tend to think we have faith, but we really don't. That's why James says, show me your faith by your works. A man is justified by faith, by works and not just faith, because he said, a man say, I have faith, but it doesn't have works to back it up. Your faith is going to motivate you, to move you, and we're going to see that tonight. Faith will move you to move in action and to move and to do what God has commanded you to do by faith. Amen. So the Bible says that God will answer our prayers, but he wants to know, will there be faith on the earth when the Son of Man returns? So let's go on. The Bible says, earth here is, I want to talk about earth for a minute. Earth here is the inhabited earth, or earth as compared to heaven. Faith here is belief, assurance, or foundation. So we're talking about the earth realm. He says, shall there be faith on the earth? That's Luke 18 and 8, when the Son of Man returns. He's talking about the earth realm as compared to the heavenly realm. Amen? But faith here is a belief, and it means assurance or foundation, amen. Your foundation, amen, in God has got to be built on faith. Now, everything in the world is designed to take our faith. The enemy wants to take our faith. That's why Jesus said, will there be faith on the earth when the Son of Man returns? Because when the Son of Man returns, because the devil is trying to do everything he can to take our faith. He attacks our faith. Amen. He attacks our faith in God. He wants us to focus on the natural realm and not on the supernatural. Praise God. But the Bible says he doesn't want us to focus on the invisible realm. Amen. But faith is the belief in the invisible realm or the invisible God. Because we know God is invisible. God is not made with wood or stone or anything that you can touch and feel. He's not in the temporary world. He's in the eternal world, which is invisible to the natural man. Amen. To the things that you can feel and touch and see with your five senses. But faith is moving in the visible realm or earth realm, like we know what's going on in the invisible. God is more real, and this is another statement that I have to tell you about. God is more real than the physical world. And we're going to show you that in scripture tonight. So, but a lot of times we tend to think and act like the physical world is all that there is, or that the physical world is more real to us than the invisible world. And that's when we cannot have faith. We cannot allow the physical things of what we see to determine our belief in God and what God is able to do. The Bible says when the invisible realm becomes more real to us than the visible realm, then we can move by faith. Let me say that again. When the invisible realm becomes more real to us, as it did to the patriarchs in Hebrews 11, which we're going to talk about, when the invisible realm becomes more real to us than the visible realm, then and only then can we move by faith. Now, let me tell you about a story. Elijah was fed by the ravens. Remember that story where it was a famine in the land for 3 years and Elijah was fed? God told Elijah he was going to have the ravens to bring him bread for 3 years, and the brook did not dry up, so he had water and he had bread. And it was through a miracle of God, because ravens are flesh eaters. They are flesh eaters, but God made the ravens get the meat and bring it to Elijah so he could feed him every day for 3 years in the famine. This defies all common sense and all natural common sense, because it doesn't make sense to us that a raven would bring us food for 3 years in the midst of a famine. But Elijah did not limit God by what his natural senses could perceive as being possible. He believed, amen, as Abraham did, against hope. He believed that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. And I'm going to show you that tonight. I want you to know that God's ways are not our ways, saints. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. He said, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. So we cannot limit God to our finite mind. We cannot limit God to our capabilities of what we can see and what we can perceive in the natural. We have to take the limits off. We have to open up our mind to the possibilities of what can happen in the invisible realm and God's ability to fulfill his promise. Now, I want you to know your faith has got to be based on the word of God, which is the promises of God, because the Bible says the promises of God in him are yea, or in Jesus Christ are yea and amen. So our faith is based on the word of God or the promises of God. And that's why it's important to know the word. That's why it's important to stand on the word and on the promises of God. And I want to show you that tonight as well. But I want you to know his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So the Bible says that Abraham endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's Hebrews 11 and 27. But we're going to start in Hebrews 11 and 1. So if you turn with me to Hebrews 11 and 1, the Bible says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, this is a definition. Amen. This is where you get your definition of faith from in the Bible. You don't have to go to Webster Dictionary. You don't have to go to any dictionary, encyclopedia, or online, because the Bible defines faith. That's how important it is to God. He didn't want you to have to turn to anybody else. He put a definition right here in the Word for you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your hopes and your beliefs rely on the word and the promises of God. Base your hopes on the word of God. Base your hopes on the promises of God. Amen. And you will, God will always do what he has promised to do in his word. Amen. The Bible says the evidence, the faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof of things that are not seen. The Bible says, why does a man yet hope for things that he sees? You don't need hope if you can see it. If you can see it, you don't need hope. So this is what I'm telling you. You have to believe, number one, that God exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember Jesus said, men are always to pray and not to faint. This is what Jesus was talking about, the connection between prayer and between faith. If you have prayer on one hand, you have to have faith on the other hand, and you combine the two together and you receive what you ask God for by faith. And sometimes God is going to require something out of you. Well, most of the time God does require something out of us, just as an action move, amen, to because he wants to see if we really believe what we say we believe. Now, the Bible says that by faith the elders obtained a good report. That's in verse 2. How could they obtain a good report if they did not move by faith? They had to do something in order to obtain a good report from God. And that's the point we're going to focus on tonight. Through faith, in verse 3, the Bible says, we understand, this is our understanding, this is our wisdom, that the worlds were framed, the visible worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Now, this is a very basic understanding, and very important understanding to our doctrine of faith tonight. Things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. That means that everything that we see that we value so highly, that everything on this earth that we see that we value, our houses, our cars, our lands, whatever, everything in the natural was made by an invisible, something in the invisible realm of the word of God. Because in Genesis, the Bible says, remember, God spoke and it became and it happened and it was. Amen. Things that we see were not made by things which do appear. That's, if you can get that principle, then you can go on to verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. By faith, Enos was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So he had faith. Amen. The Bible says that he had faith and he was translated because his ways pleased the Lord. But without faith, in verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's your faith. You believe. When you get saved by faith. Because you can't see God, but you believe that God is real. You believe that God exists, and you believe that he will wash your sins and that he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and that in the name of Jesus that he sent his son to die on the cross for you, and that you receive his salvation through Jesus. All of this is done by faith in the invisible, something that we cannot see. We didn't actually see Jesus get crucified. We can't see our sins. We can't actually see our invisible into the invisible realm and see our unrighteousness before God, but we believe that we are unrighteous. We believe that we need to be forgiven. We believe that we are forgiven when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart. So this is the foundation of our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him, getting back into prayer. Look at verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen. See, again, here we go with Noah. We're going to talk about the different patriarchs tonight. Noah, let's talk about Noah for a minute. Noah, the Bible says, was warned of God of things not seen as yet. That means invisible realm, not seen. Noah did not see. It had never rained on the earth, the Bible said, before Noah. Amen, before the days of Noah. They didn't know what rain was. Rain was like a word to them that was foreign to them. They had no understanding of rain. But, and nevertheless, God told Noah, it's going to rain. Amen? And Noah preached, it's going to rain. But the people mocked him. The people made fun of him because they said, we never seen any rain. They were going by what they see. There we go again, limiting God by what you see. They said, we have never seen rain. And Noah tossed like a foolish man. But Noah preached anyway, despite whether they believed him or not. And the Bible says he was moved with fear to the point that he prepared an ark to the saving of his household. Now, what? Now this is what I'm talking about. Noah prepared an ark. That was his faith in action. He actually built the ark based on the promises of God, based on the word of God, because he believed God, it moved him to build the ark. Hallelujah. And by building that ark, it saved not only him, but his whole family. Eight people were saved, amen. And God repopulated the whole earth with those eight people. But the Bible says to the saving of his house. Sometimes God is going to require something out of you that you can't see. Sometimes God is not going to make sense to you. Some things that God tell you to do in the natural, you are not going to be able to understand it, and it's not going to make sense to the carnal mind. Hallelujah, because the Bible said the carnal man is enmity with God, neither is it subject to the things of God. Amen. So the Bible says that Noah, being moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That was Noah. Let's go on to Abraham in verse 8. We're in Hebrews 11 and 8. By faith, Abraham. Let's talk about Abraham for a minute. A lot of people think Abraham's first act of faith was when he received Isaac. Amen. But that was not Abraham's first act of faith. It tells you right here in 11 and 8 what Abraham's first act of faith was. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that which he should after receive for an inheritance, he didn't receive it beforehand. The Bible said afterwards. He was called to that place before he received it as an inheritance. But he obeyed, amen, and he went. That's the action word. He went out to a place that God told him to go. God told him that he was going to give him the land. And to him and his descendants, God told him when he was childless and his wife was past the age of childbearing that he was going to have more children, that he was going to have his offspring was going to be more than the stars in the sky. Abraham believed God, the Bible says. So that was his first act of faith when he moved and left the country where he was at. Amen. But he did not know where he was going, the Bible says, but he moved by faith. Let's look at verse 9. By faith, still talking about Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. So he sojourned journeyed in the land of promise as in a strange country. Amen. Dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob. God told him it was going to be his, but he didn't give it to him in his lifetime. But he looked for a city that have foundations whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, let's talk about Sarah. Let's look at Sarah's faith. Through faith, the Bible says, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Sarah was past the childbearing age. God gave her a promise, just like he gave Abraham. He said, in 9 months, at the time of life, the angel said, you shall bring forth a child. Amen. Sarah, the Bible says, laughed in the tent when she first heard it. She laughed within herself. And the angel said, why did you laugh? And she denied laughing. Amen. But I want you to know, Sarah had faith because she received strength to conceive. That's an action. She was delivered of a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She knew in and of herself she couldn't do it. In and of herself, she was past the age of childbearing. She didn't have any more eggs. She was past menstruation period. She was past all of that, and she had passed the time of childbearing. It was impossible. I want you to hear this. It was impossible for her to have a child. But at the word of God, she judged God to be faithful. She judged God to be faithful. She wasn't looking at her ability or her inability. She was looking at God who had promised and his ability. So the Bible says she judged him faithful who had promised. And that's how she received strength to conceive seed when she was past the age of childbearing. In verse 12, the Bible says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Talking about Abraham. He was just as good as dead. He was past the age too. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. Here we go again, the eyes of faith. They didn't receive it in their lifetime, but they saw it afar off. And they were persuaded and embraced the promises of God, the Bible says, not having received the promises, but they embraced the promises. They were persuaded of the promises of God. They embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Let's go to verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's read verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Here again we see faith, and we see it tied to the promises of God. The Bible says, he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, this is what Abraham did, he was accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. This is talking about the resurrection of Christ. Abraham offered up his only begotten son. God offered up his only begotten son. Abraham knew that God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead because he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and he was about to kill him. The same thing with Jesus. God raised up his son from the dead. So this is what God was looking for. He's looking for faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Amen. Not things that they saw, but things that were in the future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. 400 years down the road, Joseph knew. He prophesied. God gave him a word. He said, 400 years, your people are coming up out of Egypt. And he said, and Joseph said, when you leave Egypt, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Amen. He said, take me with you to the promised land. Take my bones to the promised land. And this was 400 years later. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child or a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There goes that promise again. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. This is a very powerful verse, verse 27. Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? Because he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses went through and was able to come out by faith because he saw God, amen, with his spiritual eyes, he was able to see God. Do you remember the story about Elijah? Elisha, when the mountain was full of the enemy, there were chariots all around Elisha and this young man, amen, in the Old Testament. And the Bible says, the young man said, what are we going to do, master? Look, you know, we're surrounded. And Elisha said, they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Because Elisha saw in the spiritual realm what God was doing. They were outnumbered. The enemy was outnumbered, but the young man couldn't see it. So Elisha told God, he prayed, and he said, open up his eyes that he would see. And the Bible says God opened up the young man's eyes, and all around the mountains was chariots of fire and the angels of God and the host of God. So Elisha endured as seeing him who is invisible. We are not going to be able to walk this walk of faith unless we endure as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. The Bible says Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible in verse 27. Let's go on down to some more. I want to go through my notes for a minute before my time runs out. And the Bible says, We're in verse 28. Through faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should it touch them. I want to go on down. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. In verse 13, they were persuaded of them. I'm going to go back up to verse 13 for just a minute, because I want you to know we need to be persuaded of the promises of God. In my notes, this was something I want to share. And embrace them, for they are in him, yea and amen. The promises of God are yea and amen in him, and there is no shadow of turning with him. Amen. So I want to say that, amen, and let's go on down. Okay, we're going to go back over, up to down to verse 28, 29. The Bible says, by faith they passed through, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, when they tried to do, were drowned. The children of Israel, when they got to the Red Sea, saints, I just want to make this plain to you. When they got to the Red Sea, they were in an impasse. There was nowhere for them to go. The enemy was hot on their heels. The enemy was approaching them. They were outnumbered, and they were outgunned. They didn't have any weapons to fight with in the natural. The only thing in front of them was the sea, the Red Sea. They didn't have anywhere to go. They could have gave up. They could have fainted. But Moses said, he prayed to God, and he asked God what to do, and God told him to stretch out what was in his hand, stretch out that staff that he had anointed before he sent them to Egypt. And Moses stretched that staff out, that anointed staff, and I'm telling you, the waters began to part, the Bible says, to make way for the people of God. The God will make a way for you where there is no way. Hallelujah. God will make a way in the wilderness. Hallelujah. God will open the Red Sea for his children when we stand and believe the word of God and the promises of God. Amen. So the Bible says by faith they passed through the Red Sea. But when the enemy tried to do the same thing, they were drowned. So the Bible says, you know, that we have to stand, and we have to stand by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about for 7 days. So here we see the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, these walls, I just want you to know something about the walls of Jericho. We don't have time to go into it a lot. These walls were very thick. They were like 12 feet or so many. They were wide enough for a chariot to ride on the top of. That's how wide the walls of Jericho were. But I'm telling you, God told the children of Israel to take Jericho. They was behind a fortified wall, but God said, told them to march around for 7 days, and after 7 days, on the seventh day, those walls crumbled down because the word of God crumbled the walls of Jericho because they stood by faith. There are some walls in your life that you need God to crumble before you, before the enemy, that's separating you from your blessing. And unless you stand by faith, those walls are not going to crumble. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe. When they went into Jericho and those walls fell, Rahab was the only one that came out. Why? Because she had faith in God, and she received the spies with peace. She hid them out because she believed in the God in their God, and she also believed in the promises and the word of God. And the Bible says in verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued. And faith means they didn't see it. They didn't see it, but they through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again by faith, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made. made perfect. That's the end of my message tonight. I want to tell you thank you for listening in. I hope your faith was increased. I hope you got blessed by the word and the revelation of God tonight. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I'll be back with you again soon. God bless you. Evangelist Amos signing off on Man of Teaching Ministry. Good night.